Blog Talk Radio.
Hey, what's happening?
Brother, what's up?
This is a two big party, man.
Yeah,
I can dig it.
Mother, there's too many of you crying. Brother, there's far too many of you dying. You know we've got to find a way to bring some loving here today. Yeah. Father, we don't need to escalate. You see, war is not the answer. For only love can conquer hate.
You know we've got to find a way
to bring some love and kiss here today. Picket lines and picket signs. Don't punish me with brutality. Talk to me so you can see.
What it do?
What it do every day.
I was trying to think of something different. I like that green.
I did, yeah. But you have to be happy, so what it do?
I didn't think you liked the good evening. That's why I stopped doing it.
No, I told you to do the good evening, but what it
okay,
do?
Okay, good evening. I'm back with you again with another installment, because this is the second installment, right?
This is the second installment.
She said, he said.
And we are...
The Village Perspective.
We're the Village Perspective, but where are we right now?
Oh, we at... No.
Yeah.
We're at the Central Library, historically, downtown Brayden.
Uh-huh.
They just renovated it, opened back up Monday.
Did they?
Yeah, Monday.
After you know.
Yeah, and we're in the new study area.
So. Partial study. It doesn't have a roof, but it'll work.
Oh, okay.
The library.
Yeah, it's nice.
It is, so far.
It's accommodating. Mm-hmm. Let's use that. Mm-hmm. Well, there's the formality. Let's move into the show. What are we doing? Recap first.
No, how you doing?
Oh, I got no manners. You're going to point that out on me. Yeah. There you go again. I'm doing very well, Ms. Roberts. How are you?
Good. I'm doing good. How was your week? I ain't seen you in a week.
It's just Wednesday.
I ain't seen you since last
Okay,
Wednesday.
Let me see. It's been busy.
Yeah,
it's been busy, but productive.
Yeah, because this is a big weekend for you.
Yes.
I almost missed it. I'll tell you about that later, though.
Come
I almost
on.
Missed your big weekend. We'll talk about it later, after the
No, week. No, I'm finished screen. You don't
no,
ask
no, no,
in front
no.
of everybody.
Maybe at the end.
Okay, we'll come back.
Yeah.
This goes left real fast.
I know.
Get the wheel.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Grab. There we go.
Okay.
Ah.
But
how
my
you,
week was good.
How you doing?
There
how
you
was
go.
Your week?
It was a good week. I was invited to the Manatee County Black Chamber of Commerce.
Yeah.
Bar, told you about that.
Yeah, I'm
yeah.
sorry. I was supposed to bring that up
yeah.
also. What happened with that?
Some
good news, isn't it?
Yeah, good news. Mm-hmm. I was invited to join their board. They are moving in the direction of sustainability. So, yeah.
That's what's up.
And they're going to start developing their youth stuff. So, I accept it. Happily so.
Other than that. Something else to do, but
yeah.
You can have it.
Yeah.
Right?
I know it. Getting back to while we're here,
mm-hmm.
If you all see us look wayward, my mother and my sister is
yeah,
in
we
the
got
studio.
Audience.
We got a live
audience.
Studio
yeah.
on here.
Y'all ain't got to come. We got
yeah,
our own.
Yeah, yeah. And I sent out a mass text a little while ago of my people that I don't have on Facebook.
Right.
Even got my nail girl in there. I went and ran to see her before I came.
We ain't gonna even talk about it. I just broke. Well, we ain't gonna go into that.
Yeah.
You got one of them files? I usually keep one.
I got
never
one in my
mind.
First.
Never mind.
Yeah, I sent my nail girl, so she probably listening. She typed me. I got my lip done. Can't be in here looking like Miss Perkins.
I ain't gonna go into that.
I'm just saying. So, you know, we expanded that audience. And
right.
one of the things that we did new was to, you know, just touch on your expanding quiet brilliance was we put a think challenge out there, right?
Right, we didn't get a lot of feedback.
We did, but it's okay because I won. I won, though. I know you're sensitive.
Yeah,
I won, though. I won the think challenge. You agree?
Yeah, you definitely won. You're the only person
I
engaged with on it. So give me some of your feedback.
No, the whole thing was, you know, you get deep sometimes.
Right, too deep. Occasionally.
It's you
all
said
the time.
That I didn't.
Okay.
But
you agree. Just
I'm
then.
Just saying.
Remember
that
silence thing we talked about there?
I was just trying to make sure my cards was together.
No,
right?
Something is going to go left.
No, it's okay.
Okay.
The whole
okay.
idea of the think challenge is, okay. you know, you could lead a horse to water, but you can't make them think.
Ooh,
I like that.
I don't know Pimpin, but I like him now.
Right. So, uh-huh. you know, I just kind of dissected that thing a little bit and ran it back to you what I thought it was, how
yeah.
I could break it up, how I understood it, and all that kind of stuff. I was impacted.
That's what's up. That's all that mattered then. I was exposed.
Yeah.
You're exposing me right now. That's
what's
up. That's all that matters.
I collect my own gift card.
Right, because it was a gift card. That's what they get for not replying back.
So in the future, think challenges, you might want to think a little bit.
Yeah, engage us, because we're going to engage you. That's what we're here to do, impact and exposure.
So you good?
I'm good.
Think challenge?
I'm good.
You sure?
I'm positive on it.
Okay.
I won't be doing it no more, but I'm good.
You won't be doing it no more?
No.
Why not, though?
It's not like I failed at it. It's just that I implemented it because I felt like it was something to do,
uh-huh.
but I didn't really want to do it. And I'm not fond of doing anything I don't really want to do.
So why would you do it if you didn't want to do it?
Because I was trying something different.
It's the same thing where you just went from what it do back to good evening, good evening, good evening.
There ain't nothing wrong with trying different things.
Okay.
Right?
I just want to make sure you're not under peer pressure.
Because
you the vet here.
Who gonna put me under peer pressure?
No, I don't know.
Okay.
But I just want to make sure that, you know, you're making sound decisions. You're the clinical
No. What I'm trying to do is figure this out.
Okay.
You know what I'm saying? You always got to be open to different avenues.
And
That's it. I'm trying different things.
Okay.
Just don't want you to get all the shine, really. I'm going to be honest with you. That's it.
But you brought me here, though.
Yeah.
I'm going to keep it.
Yeah.
I ain't going to bring Nelly P.
out. If you shine, I'm shining.
True.
So you don't think I'm strategic in this?
Of course. We're on the same page. Okay, well, we'll keep it moving then. One of the things about our weigh-in topic for this week is
mm-hmm.
about the gentleman who was died after having been in police
right.
custody, Mr.
Correct.
Cathy. And for our listeners, you'll have an opportunity to kind of chime in on that a little bit
right.
later in the broadcast, just for reference. So, you know, if you call in, you're going to need to hit one. Is it there?
Yes.
Okay.
But the dial pad should, well, it's not the dial pad, the operator, I guess, on the actual call-in should tell you to, if you want to engage the host, to
mm-hmm.
hit one. If not, I think it says just listen. We don't know because they come up with
right. And that's the kind of direction that this show is moving in, specifically
mm-hmm.
just the state of law enforcement right now and then the relationship with the community
right.
that is charged with protecting and serving. And so we do really want to hear, you know, what I do. I want to hear
mm-hmm.
what people's take, you know,
yeah,
is
no,
on that
no.
situation.
I agree. I totally agree.
Yeah.
And I think it's one of them taboo topics. I'm sorry.
Right.
But I guess because it's one of those taboo topics, which really aggravates me because it's certain topics we need to talk about
right.
that we don't address.
Right.
And this is one of them. So, yeah, I totally agree.
Okay. Yeah, so I think it's going to get interesting. As a matter of fact, our two guests on the show today, both are frontline, you know, and
mm-hmm.
a lot of stuff that's going on with law enforcement. But to me, kind of different sides in which I feel both are needed,
right.
to be honest with you.
Absolutely.
So I basically...
Like that, absolutely.
Yeah, I like that. I use that a lot, too.
Yeah, I told it from you.
Stop. But the first caller that we have, Daquan Carruthers, I had
mm-hmm.
the opportunity to meet him. I had the opportunity to meet him
mm-hmm.
at MCC back
mm-hmm.
in 2004. We were able to reconnect via social media recently,
mm-hmm.
and I just kind of was able to see, you know, through his Instagram, him being on the front line and him. Sorry for the listening audience, but basically, you know, I was able to just through social media,
mm-hmm.
you know, it's so much exposure at this point in time, but I was able to, you know, just see him actively in his passion.
Right.
We talk about active passion
right.
all the time.
Right.
You know, being able to travel to Ferguson and being able to travel to Baltimore and being a part of the Millions March in New York City.
Right.
And
right.
so I just reached out to him and, you know, asked if he would be able to come online and
mm-hmm.
just kind of talk to us a little bit about, you know, his, you know.
His take, his experiences.
Absolutely. So let's see if he's online here, the bottom. Daquan, are you here?
Yeah, what's up?
Hey, how you doing? How you doing, man? Nice to meet you. Derek Randall.
What's going on?
Nothing much, man. Taking it easy. I was going to say what it do, but I've been in
Don't do it.
Good evening, sound better. So good evening.
Good evening.
What it do is cool. What's going on?
Mine is cutting out, Derek.
You cutting out?
Okay, I got it.
Good?
Yeah. Quan, can you hear me?
Yeah, I can hear you.
Okay, all right. I introduced you to the audience and online as a new age revolutionist, right? That's what you told me, because you told me
I like that.
Not to call you a little freedom rider because you're a big boy, right?
I like that.
Right. But honestly, the titles I could go without, you know what I'm saying? I'm just wanting to do my personal part and just, you know, when I can, honestly, to just, you know, lend a hand to the struggle and just, you know, show our people what's really going on, because, you know, some of the mainstream media doesn't show you exactly what it look like, you know what I'm saying? They show what they want, so I'm showing you from, you know, my eyes what it look like and what I'm doing, and, you know, hope the people understand that when I say stuff about certain issues, you know, I could say, like, because I got a little experience in, you know, doing it.
Well, tell us a little bit about that experience. What is going on out there? Like, what has been your experience and your kind of part that you feel that you have contributed to, like, the efforts as far as, you know, just the firsthand accounts that you've been able to see and capture via your lens? I invited everybody to follow you on Instagram, but if you kind of take us a little bit through the journey that you've been able to be on.
Well, for the first trip that I went was in Ferguson, and I went working as a production assistant with my cousin, and, you know, he took me for two reasons. He took me because he knew that I was going to keep it 100, you know what I mean, and I was going to be safe at the same time, and also because he knew that I have interest in, like, photography, film, documenting, you know what I mean? You know what I'm saying? So this just was like, okay. And plus, this is an issue that affects me. I'm a black man, you know what I'm saying? Like, they're out here killing, the police is out here killing black men. We got to see what's going on, you know what I'm saying?
Right.
Like, I may live somewhere, I may live in Florida, but it happened in St. Louis. It's still important, just like it happened, happening in Florida, but it did too, you know what I mean, with Trayvon Martin. So it's like, it's just, that's how you got to look at it, you know what I mean? Like, yo,
right.
This is important to me as a man, as a human being. I'm a black man, I'm a black human being, you know what I'm saying? Like, they're doing something to us collectively, and I'm a black man, you know what I'm saying? So it's like, oh, they're talking in men.
How many times you going to say you're a black man, Quan?
Because they need to know
it. Black man. They need to know. But totally understand where you're coming from. I guess the main thing, too, for me, because everybody doesn't take that point of view, you
mm-hmm.
know. Some people feel like they're removed from it because it's not happening right here in my backyard. And that's very important to understand that, you know, history repeats itself. And we definitely have to know what has happened to make sure that things don't happen again, to do our active part. And I think you and I feel the same way, in that if you don't have something to say or if you don't feel some type of way about it, you are pretty much a part of the problem as well. I shared with the social media community some of your pictures that you had taken, and specifically the ones from Ferguson and Baltimore. Can you tell us a little bit about what was going on in those photos?
Hello?
DeQuan, did you catch that?
Hello, can you hear me?
Yeah. Sorry about that. We lost you for a minute. You're back now. Go ahead. Did you hear what Chanel just asked you?
I heard the last part. Can you say it again real quick? I'm sorry.
No, I was just asking you to kind of share with the listening audience specifically what was going on in those pictures that we shared on the She Said, He Said page. The Baltimore and the Ferguson one.
Okay, the which one you want me to talk about?
The Baltimore and the Ferguson one.
But what, all right, hold on, because I think you posted four pictures. I think all of them was from,
two of them were from Baltimore and two of them were from Ferguson.
Okay. Well, I know the one that I'm thinking about off top is the one with the National Guard just chilling on the trucks. You know what I'm saying? Like,
yeah.
I'm interested.
That was like,
out.
Yeah, that was crazy because, you know, like when you see like CNN, for example, show you what's going on, they're showing you like, yo, you know, like they're in war positions and this, that, and the third. You know what I'm saying? Like, that's not necessarily true the whole entire time. You know what I'm saying? That's not normally the temperament of the whole situation. Like, I've been out there when it was, that was the situation, you know what I'm saying? Like, they were lined up, they were had they, you know, sticks out, they were walking forward, doing different things, but at the same time, at that particular time, that was like the day of the, when the lawyer said that she was going to throw charges up on the cops, you know what I'm saying? And the whole place was like chill, you know what I'm saying? Like, there was like, everybody was like, yo, that was the right thing to do. Now the people kind of was like, all right, we're happy now, you know what I'm saying? So everybody that was there, like National Guard, police, you know, they were kind of like chilling, you know what I'm saying? The only reason they was all out so much was because they knew everybody was out, you know what I mean? They knew people was going to be waiting at the doors to, like, see what was going to be said, and if so, the cops needed to be ready too, you know what I'm saying? So, right, so, but when they got the good news, you know what I mean, in that case, in that situation, you know what I'm saying, it changed, you know what I'm saying? Like, the police
and that is interesting because when you look at the disparity in the two pictures, both from there, you know, they are kind of lined up in action mode, but then the exact opposite, you know, like you said, they're chilling, and mainstream media would have you to believe that it's off the chain all the time.
Right.
What about the other picture they call with?
The one picture that's like black and white, I believe, where they all standing in a row in black uniforms. Now that was in Ferguson, and if you look at the picture, like, it's totally different. You know what I'm saying? Like, you can see, you could, like, that's why, like, they say pictures worth a thousand words or whatever. You know what I'm saying? Because, like, you could look at that picture and think a lot of things. One of them is they look angry. Like, their faces were filled with, like, hate. They just staring, like, you know what I'm saying? Because that was a high-tense situation in Ferguson when I was there. You know what I mean? Like, the atmosphere is different. Baltimore is a city, like, a small major city. It can handle certain types of people out because it has a certain type of people in its city. You know what I'm saying? So they know what to be prepared for. In Ferguson, it's like everybody at home, at the house, they ain't accounting for them. And then one day, you do something and they all come out. Now y'all like, the 30 police we had for this town ain't going to do it. You know what I'm saying? So it's like, they in danger mode.
Right. Go ahead. I'm sorry.
No. And like, the situation is like handled differently in different states. You know what I'm saying? Like, the temperament of the people there are different in different states. So Baltimore is showing you like, yo, we not going to have it, even if we got to burn ours down, because it wasn't nothing really there anyway. Y'all thinking we burning down something, but those are all abandoned buildings in Baltimore. You know what I'm saying? Like, the neighborhoods was already bad. In Ferguson, it was more so like, they was unpredictable. They didn't know what was going to happen. You know, they like, wait a minute. All of these black people from St. Louis came out like that. You know what I'm saying? Like, y'all felt this, y'all was this angry at us? You know what I mean? Because that's that's just the temperament of how they are out there. You know, everybody, every state is different, like I said.
What kind of love did y'all receive or opposition, you know, when y'all were out and about?
Oh, that's a good question. Truthfully, it's like, it's refreshing to see that people genuinely care about something, even if they from somewhere else, you know what I'm saying? When I was in Ferguson, I met people from all over, like from San Antonio, you know, Hawaii, people coming from, like, everywhere, you know what I'm saying? And, like, they, you know, when you talk to them, everybody's like, you know, this is wrong, I can't stand it, da-da-da-da-da, what if I have a kid, you know what I mean? And with a black man, is this what's going to happen? Or, you know, just, it was all types of stuff, you know? So it was just refreshing to see that everybody, like, genuinely cares about the things that's going on, especially young people. That's what people don't really want to, like, understand. Like, these are young people that's like, nah, we're not having it no more. You know what I'm saying? Like, people want a better quality of living. So, like, one group of people attacking another group of people is not going to help that. And people understand that, white, black, Chinese, so it doesn't matter.
Right. The last thing that I kind of wanted you to touch on was the day of anger, you know, 12/13/14, the Millions March in New York City that took place at Washington Square Park. And, you know, basically they kind of dubbed that, you know, Black Lives Matter, All Lives Matter. Basically, you know, we demand justice for all the innocent people of color killed by the misuse of police force. Was kind of the slogan that they had going on. And I want to know personally, you being from New York, which part of New York are you from, Quan?
Well, I was born in the Bronx, but I was raised in Queensbridge. So
you repping what?
I rep QB.
Okay, you rep QB.
You already know
but,
what it is.
even in repping QB and just talking about, you know, the coming together of different communities and different nationalities and different cultural backgrounds, I am anxious to know, what was the energy like that day? And if you are looking at the pictures online to our listening audience, the Millions March in New York City are the two pictures that are in the middle. You know, just what was the energy kind of like that day?
It was crazy. Because it was just like, you know, New York is a different type of place. There's people, it's a melting pot. So it's like not only black people, but there's like people from a place you never heard of. You know what I'm saying? And they're like, yo, I matter. You know what I'm saying? Like, they're doing the same thing to me. So in New York, you got like a lot of different, you know, people that's just like, yo, no. Not only am I, like, or for example, black people are minorities, but there's all types of minorities in New York City. You know what I'm saying? Like, there's somebody that's one of one from somewhere that's like, the cops treat him like a black man. He's like, no, that's not fair. You know what
right,
I'm saying?
Right.
But the energy is crazy because there's millions of people, you know, there's thousands of people. There's people that's in there every day that's like not even fazed by it, but they do stop and be like, oh, what's going on today? They're having a march.
Right.
Oh, this is what this is about. Oh, then they may go home and keep, you know, look into it later. But you know what I'm saying? Like, the energy was crazy. It was a lot of people. The only thing I could say is, like, New York City don't play no games, so they had everything controlled. So that's not like a true protest. That's why they call it like a march, I guess, because it's like we wasn't allowed to go wherever we wanted. They already outlined where we was going to go. You know what I'm saying? Like, in protest, you go where you, the crowd just bust a left. You know what I mean? Like, turn left on them. They don't know where we're going. You know what I'm saying? Like, but in the march, it's like, oh yeah, they're gonna go down here, they're gonna make a left, they're gonna come back, and then that's it. You know what I'm saying? Like,
right.
You know, and
no,
like,
and
you
I mean,
had it.
And all in all, you know, I think we agree that whether it's a march or it's a protest or even if they tear it down a little bit like they did in Baltimore. Some of that is necessary.
Participation.
Gotta be active. Yeah, absolutely. And I think we know that. Like I was saying before, I totally believe in attacking something from both sides. So you know, the protest, the march, you know, like Quan is saying, and all that kind of stuff is definitely needed. And I really just want to thank you, Quan, for coming on, because it did open my eyes a little bit, too, even only having that media point of view and thinking, oh, it's just off the chain over there. They tearing it down, and they tearing down their own neighborhoods and all of that kind of stuff, too, but not knowing the original state of the community and everything like that, and not even knowing, like, the struggle of the people, you know, and thinking, you know, maybe outsiders will go and experience opposition, but to feel that love and to see others coming in from all over the place in that collective idealism that, you know, my brother, you know, me as well, kind of So, again, Quan, I want to thank you. I'm going to have the listening audience go and follow your Instagram page. It's at Quan2K15, and they could get a chance to look at a little bit more from behind your lens and, you know, some of the other locations that you've been able to go on and experience and kind of live vicariously through you. Is that okay?
That's cool with me. Just like all the pictures, whatever you see, you know what I'm saying?
Like, you got to like it.
Like it up, you know what I mean? So draw more attention so people can see it. But I appreciate y'all having me on.
Yeah, thank you.
Appreciate you coming on, man. Keep making a movement, man. Being active in the movement. That's what Chanel pointed out. That's very important.
Right. You're right. That's the most important thing. That's why I'm doing this, so my kids could be like, Dad, you was there. You was there.
True
doing
that.
There it is. True that.
All right, Quan. Well, you have a good evening. Thank you again.
All right, later.
All right. Just getting back to the whole two side of things, and we're gonna go pretty much right into our next guest, and this young lady has been active up and down the road, Tallahassee, so forth and so on. And just to kind of give you a little bit of background on her situation before I bring her in June of 2012, Rodney Mitchell and a minor cousin were being pulled for a seatbelt violation in Sarasota, Florida. Pretty much a routine traffic stop that authorities say turned violent when the sheriff's deputies fired out of fear that one of them would be run over as the driver vehicle lurched forward. That was their story. But records that were released over the two-month-long investigation pretty much revealed that the only witness said, one, that the deputy was not in the path of the vehicle. It also revealed that Rodney Mitchell's will and tires were turned in the opposite direction from the officer, as well as it accelerated in an attempt to kind of like avoid the deputy. However, at the end, both deputies were acquitted of the shooting, and it was ruled pretty much justified. A little bit about Rodney Mitchell. He was a 2007 graduate of Palmetto High.
The entire country.
Yeah. He attended Eastern New Mexico University, where he was an accomplished football player on a full scholarship, as a matter of fact. And he had been awarded both an associate's and a bachelor's degree. So upon hearing about this tragedy here in Sarasota, of course, his head football coach said basically, like, you know, things that come to mind to him are his child that he left behind, his mother, and said that he was such a good, he had such a good heart, and basically that he was going to miss him. Rodney also has spent some time working at the Palmetto Boys and Girls Club under the director, Mr. Willie Cooper, and Mr. Cooper stated that he was well-liked by the kids and the staff, and that his personality was great, and he always had a smile on his face. He was a loving dad. The picture that I saw online was, you know, him and he had his son over his neck, you know, kind of playing with, but both had, like, huge smiles. The kids,
Enjoyment, and that's what stuck out
to me. And basically during this time, his mom was kind of fighting for his body to be released, and she was finding it hard to accept the fact that her four-year-old grandson now was going to be fatherless. She hadn't slept, pretty much cried incessantly, spent the first couple of days in denial. However, we are here to talk about the awakening after those first couple of days. She counts it as kind of like being born on that third day. That's the way that she puts it, out of this terrible tragedy. And I definitely want to share her story of overcoming and triumph and all that kind of stuff. Natasha, are you here?
Natasha speaking.
Hi, Natasha. How you doing?
How you doing, Ms. Clinton?
I'm well. Hello, how are
good.
You?
Good. And yourself?
I'm doing well. Can't complain. Complain.
All right. I had the pleasure of speaking with Natasha recently, and I can tell everybody here in the room that it instantly, like, blessed me. Her, she was just very welcoming. Her demeanor was the welcoming, and her story was just one of triumph, and the forgiveness that she had and showed through our conversation was just her story just growing, just a pure love. You
I
know what
it.
I mean? And
I,
that was,
I see it on your face, though. I see. I know you're fighting emotions.
No. It was awesome. It was definitely awesome. Natasha, I'm sorry. I would like for you to kind of start us off with telling everybody a little bit about, I shared a little bit of the story, and kind of where you were up to those first couple of days. Now we're coming out to that third day after your son's body had been released. And I kind of want you to share with everybody, you share with me that you have this example about when you stump your toe.
This is my scenario of my life. When it comes to, you know, I explain, you know, it like this, you know, when you're walking and you stump your toe or you hit your toe on the side of a table and you instantly bend down and you take a look at your toe and you're hot. And then, but you also stop for a second to make sure it's not bleeding, you scream, you yell, but you continue to move forward. No one has never moved backwards. You always go forward. So this is how I see my life at this moment. Due to the trials that I face, I refuse to move backwards. I have to move forward. I'm yet standing for those that yet live.
Absolutely.
I have to stand.
And you have to. And can you tell everybody, you know, about the Martin Luther King Jr. Community Service Award that that you received?
Yeah, it's like once this happened to my son, it, you know, the officers start treating me as if I actually committed the crime. So when I would get off from work at 11:30 at night, it only took enough time for me to clock out, get in my car, crank my car up and drive, not even 5 minutes down the street. And I would see the officers, and we would be traveling in the opposite directions. So they would make a U-turn. And I would say, hell, I mean, I don't have anything against any police officers, not even the ones that took my son's life. God is my witness. All I do is pray for them and ask God to give them peace, you know, touch their hearts, because they know not who they've messed with. So as I drive, you know, I noticed that they're behind me. They're pulling me over. So I said to myself, well, what could I have done? So I would pull over, and they would, of course, harass me, give me tickets. And they did it. They continued to do it. And I was like, you know what? This has to stop. I didn't do this. These were decisions that you made. So I have to bring this to a closure. It has to stop. So that's exactly what I did. I did what I had to do, called meetings, and it stopped.
Get some understanding.
Get some understanding. After that, of course, they tried to say that I said all these bad words or, you know, said that I hate officers, that I wish they all were dead. They actually went on the news and, you know, put it on the news. And I was like, wait a minute. Oh, no, that's not happening. I said, that's not true. So, of course, the news reporter came and got my side of the story, which all turned out well. Well, the following day, I received a phone call stating that I was being honored for the Martin Luther King Jr. Service Award, and this was on January 19, 2015. So just when others meant for your bad, God always had something for your good.
Absolutely. I know that through our conversations, like you said, you had kind of been, you know, up the road rallying back and forth between, you know, Fort Myers and I know that you said that you had experienced, you know, some opposition, some great opposition, even with individuals, you know, that are in the forefront of media as big community supporters and so forth and so on. And just the drive that put in you to continue to go on and continue to go on. However, you have had the opportunity to connect with some others that are showing you nothing but the exact opposite and just pouring out love. And you told me a little bit about your circle of friends, and I was hoping you could share with our listening audience, you know, kind of how that came about.
Yes, I have a circle of friends where we all understand one another because we've all experienced losing our children. rest, you know, through different tragedies. One of my friends, which is Deanna, she lost her son due to being ejected out of Florida State Fairgrounds, which was he was ran over. Another of my one of my friends is Jackie. Jackie is she lost her son. Her son went to school with a book bag and came out in a body bag. This was the young man Kendrick Johnson that was rolled up in the gym mat. Also, I've connected with Sabrina, which is Trayvon Martin's mom. So we all support one another. We all go whenever they're having rallies, and we all support one another because we have to stand. If we don't stand for something, we will fall for anything, and that's something we're not standing for. We have to do what's right. Those of you who don't stand, you're just as guilty as the ones who commit the crime. So I encourage everyone to take a stand because you're not safe. You are not safe. Just when you think that you are, you're not.
Right. I the last guest that we had on the line had been able to visit Ferguson and Baltimore and so forth and so on, and we kind of spoke on exactly what you're saying, that, you know, if you don't have something to say, you pretty much are a part of the problem, you know, and it's only so long before it is in your backyard or it is one of your loved ones or a loved one of your loved ones or something like that. And just, you know, fighting this cause on both sides of the table is the only way actively that we're going to get, you know, things turned around for our communities. I mean, the slogan for this show is community is the cause and community is the cure.
Yeah.
I mean, I can't say it any clearer than that. You know, the Rodney Mitchell Foundation had been started, and I know we talked about a little bit about why it originally was started, but I would like for our listeners to know just some of the great things that have been born out of that effort of the Rodney Mitchell Foundation. I know you talked about being able to support families that are experiencing tragedies, just educating the community on, you know, their rights and specifically, you know, when they're stopped and things that they have to do, things that they don't have to do, and in particular, you know, proper insurance coverage and stuff. You spoke about, you know, having a policy with your job and the ups and downs of the pros and cons of that and what can happen with that, in addition to the book that you told me you're writing about, the do's and the don'ts of a grieving parent. If you could, what's that, Tasha?
I said yes, ma'am. I didn't say anything.
Okay. And what I wanted to do, you know, as we get ready to close out, is if you could let our listeners know, you know, just information on how to continue to get involved with the Rodney Mitchell Foundation and support that effort so that, you know, others can be educated, others can be touched, and just to become active in the passions that we have in our community, if you want to put that contact information out there for the foundation.
Okay, the contact information is www.RodneyMitchellFoundation.org. You can also find me on Facebook. You can also go to www.RodneyMitchellFoundationBlogspot.com as well.
Okay.
Or you can also call me at 941-518-0075.
And that's our number too, y'all.
Yes, it is.
941-518-0075. And again, www.RodneyMitchellFoundation.org. There's a Facebook page, Justice for Rodney Mitchell, and then the blogspot.com in addition to the foundation page that she mentioned. Definitely, the more we know, the better we all are. You know, look at what's going on out there, how cases are being handled, you know, how people are being treated in the streets, and just getting involved with, you know, these voting process, these rallying process, you know, whatever it takes to bring awareness. And I definitely want to encourage you, Natasha, to keep your light shining. As I say, you were a total blessing to me because I never even thought somebody could be so refreshing on this side of such a tragedy, but it was definitely just inspiring, and I was looking forward to being able to have you share your story with our listening audience and just, you know, hope that they were touched in the same way that I was. So I want to thank you, you know, for coming on with us, and like I said again, just encouraging you to keep on keeping on.
Ms. Clemens, I will encourage you as well to continue to share your story because you have been a blessing to me today. I mean, I was listening And I got a little fool for a minute until I got quiet and I fell back. I was messing with Chanel about her emotions, but it's a true triumph in your story. Because on the other, yes, it definitely is. On the other side, I see your purpose, and you also see it, and you just continue to drive and push forward. God bless you.
Thank you so much. Well, and I just want to say one quick thing.
Go ahead.
Be the change. Be that change in the world you want it to be.
Absolutely.
Yes, ma'am.
That's all I want to say. And thank you so much for having me.
All right.
Thank you,
Natasha.
Thank you.
Have a good evening, hon.
Mm-hmm. You too. Bye-bye.
All right. For those of you that are just joining in, we just closed out a quick interview with Natasha Clemmons of Sarasota. Just a refreshing take on, just a personal take, really, on what's going on. You see stuff on the news and you have an idea.
Right, and then you formulate judgment.
Absolutely.
But when it's kind of close to home when you're talking to somebody, and I'm talking about personally, we're giving you their personal cell phone.
Oh, yeah.
You know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
This is real life, and it's right down the road.
It's right down the road. And speaking of right down the road, to go into our weekly weigh-in topic,
right.
Just dealing with the young man that passed after having been in police custody, Mr. Caffey, in Sarasota. If you want to weigh in a little bit on this topic, the number to call right now is 347-989-8364, and listen for the cue to join in. We do have a couple callers on the line, but I did want to just touch base a little bit about specifically what the story is about. You know, the police are saying that they were detaining this young man and had put him in handcuffs simply to detain him. And there's a lot of different stories about how he escaped their custody out the back window and all this kind of stuff. And
Okay.
And so, and the witnesses that, you know, actually saw this are saying they was kicking his butt,
in
the handcuffs, you know, and even with him asking for help and asking for them to stop, you know, they didn't.
Mm-hmm.
And I don't know how that made me feel. I mean, especially in the times of videos, you have to think that somebody
video.
See everything.
I didn't get the chance to look at it, but it's actually a video up on Harold.com.
I saw the one with him kind of running, trying to run across the street when they caught him with the taser, but I didn't get a chance to see that.
I didn't look
either.
At it, but from what it was saying, the write-up on what I seen on the video, what I noticed was the journalist, whoever wrote it, was writing it from the perspective of it was unjustified.
Oh, okay.
So I'm curious to see what the video actually looks like.
Okay.
You know what I'm saying? Because, I mean, at the end of the day, the passenger in the front seat?
Of his vehicle?
Yeah, was saying like they was beating him for no reason. He had to just sit there and couldn't do nothing because they was cooperating.
Right.
So, I mean, that witness is saying that it was unjustified.
Mm-hmm.
That was there.
Right.
Then you have the officer admitting to beating.
Oh, well, I know that they had wrote up the report. What they said didn't reflect any of that. Basically, they wrote it up, you know, real nice and protocol-like from my understanding.
Yeah.
And the witnesses were saying, like,
I think it's on Herald Tribune, so would that be?
BrazenHerald.com.
Yeah.
Okay, so www.brazenherald.com for more information on that. But I just, like you said, I look for the police to protect and to serve.
Mm-hmm.
So, is it okay that when I see a police, I tense up? You know what I mean? Maybe that's because I speed a little bit.
No, that's not it.
Oh,
that's not it. Well, let me tell you what happened. And you posed the question, what happened to protect and serve?
Mm-hmm.
I think it comes down to superiority and projection.
Okay.
And I say superiority because everybody wants to be hard and respected.
Okay.
And it doesn't work that way. I mean, respect don't need hard. You don't need to be hard to be respected.
That's true.
You know what I'm saying?
That's true.
When you are hard, you almost come off as intimidating.
Mm-hmm.
Now, this works both ways. I'm not just saying projecting this towards the law enforcement. I'm projecting it towards us, too. Because when I say projection, I'm talking about right now, at this point in time, if we look in society, and I'm talking about everybody. I'm not just saying me as a man of color.
Mm-hmm.
As a black man, I'm saying as everybody. Because even me as a man of color, if I look in society right now, the modern-day law enforcement or minority male, when my mind comes to what that is, I'm afraid. Even the black man, I'm afraid of my own brother because of the projection we have.
Okay.
Now, we can blame that on media, or we can blame it on ourselves. Mm-hmm. Because can't nobody make me do nothing I ain't done.
Well, this is true.
You know what I'm saying? So if I present myself, in a manner where you're going to respect me, then I don't need that.
You
see what I'm saying? And that's my thing. I think the superiority comes from the point because I got to be harder than you.
Yeah.
And everybody I'm bought into a misguided illusion.
Yeah.
We all delusional at some point.
Well, I think it goes back to, like I talk about all the time, is, you know, really what is the goal? Because one of my cousins posted something about people, he has to earn, you have to earn his respect.
Mm-hmm.
And I said, with me, it's the exact opposite. You earn my disrespect,
mm-hmm.
How you present yourself or whatever. I want respect off top, so I'm going to give it off top. What I mean? You earn my disrespect is what you earn. And I say this all the time, you know, in dealing with a population that can be deemed difficult or whatever the case may be, a lot of times you think that you have to be to get some results, and my experience has been you have to be the exact opposite.
Right, but we don't buy into that delusion. And I say you have to deflate the superiority and dissipate the projection. And that's individual. I mean, at the end of the day, collectively we have to come together, but individually we have to sit down and realize I done bought into something, I ain't getting it.
Right.
I mean, you done turned this check in for all these years and you coming up insufficient funds. Dr. King said that in 1964.
Uh-huh.
And the funds still insufficient.
Insufficient, yeah.
At some point you gotta realize the bank is dry.
Yeah.
You know? Dry. I don't know. And see, I went with you this time. I really went with you. I didn't tell you I didn't care. But I didn't care about them people on that beach.
You made that perfectly clear up in here. Yeah, you made that clear. We have our views, you know, specifically about community, and that's the whole idea of, he said, the village perspective, you know, some people might think, he said, and it's going to be a fight thing up there, ultimately it's just that perspective that, you know, I bring in you.
We are good.
Yeah, but just the idea that it does take a village, you know what I mean?
Yes.
And again, back
Absolutely.
To the community being the cause of everything that's going on. And then we have to be the cure and be the change we want to see, you know, Ms. Clemens just said.
Right, that's a great, her and Mr.
Carrabbers.
Were great examples of being active in the movement and making a change that we're trying to project here on. She said, he said, I don't
get it right.
Because I want to say he said.
I know
you said that way, but it's a reason she said, he said. It's
a couple of reasons, but we'll roll with it. But kind of get back to the community, you know, as we get ready to close out. Like I told everybody before, I have my mother here.
Mm-hmm.
And,
Mm-hmm.
I did not get a chance to spend any time with her on Mother's Day. A couple, you know, things went on.
Mm-hmm.
However, that wasn't such a terrible thing because I feel like we are in contact a little bit more regularly or, you know, talk a little bit more regularly than maybe some other people, you know, might, speak to their mother.
Or whatever. It's an unspoken bond.
Right. And I just was like, you know, well, why not just have her come on the show?
Yeah,
you know,
that's what's up. So I'm going to try. To the side.
Okay, well, y'all swap it out then.
There you go.
Yeah. At the end of the day, I mean, when I'm talking to you every day on the way to work or whatever, anyways, Mother says it's just a regular day, right? No. I mean, of course people like to be recognized and acknowledged and stuff like that, but when I got up on Mother's Day, I still had to wipe pee off the seat. It was just another day, I'm just saying.
A mother's duty is never done, but it is the day that is set aside to honor mothers, and we do expect it.
We do.
I do.
Oh, true that.
We'll work on it then.
I had kind of put this thing on Facebook about my mother taught me religion and logic and irony and wisdom and justice, but that was being facetious. It was this thing that was like... Yeah, it was like religion. You better pray this. Don't come out this wall of logic, you know, because I said so, and you know, irony, hush before I give you something to cry about, and wisdom, you know, when you get my age, you'll understand, and justice. I hope your kids turn out to be just like you, you know, that type of thing. But
I don't remember those.
No, of course you don't. I definitely don't remember those.
At all.
That's what it is, but. No, but how was it raising me?
Well, it was a pleasure, Chanel. But really, there was never a dull moment. It was a pleasure. It was a little challenging at times, but the gifts and the talent that you bought to as you was growing up in the journey of raising you was very entertaining at times because you were very outspoken and didn't mind speaking your mind and very absolute about theories that you came up with.
Okay.
So, you also exhibit wisdom before your years.
Oh, wow.
Yes.
Y'all hear that, right? Straight from my mama mouth. Yes. That's from my mama mouth.
Some wisdom before your years. And, you know, I always was the inquisitive one to ask why this or that. Right. And I wasn't the mama that just said because I said so all the time.
No, I was. That was irony. That was
irony. I know.
No, but I am interested to know, as a mother now, how hard is it kind of just like to sit back and watch your children grow and deal with life and all the curveballs and things that, knowing that really at the end of the day, they have to make the choices and all of that kind of stuff?
It is. It's a lot harder than I thought it would be, because every mother's hopes and dream is for their children to exceed or have a better life than what they had.
Mm.
And without graduating from the school of hard knocks. And but it is, you know, because we have the experience and we have the wisdom, we can tell you how to avoid some of the pitfalls, but they're not interested. I have my youngest
mom. Mom, I never told you not interested.
Oh, all the time.
I said not interested to you giving me wisdom and stuff. That's my word, not interested. No, because I seriously be not interested.
Yeah.
But, so when you give me wisdom, I told you not interested, Mama.
Well, you don't verbally say it, but, you know, your persona tells me that you're not interested.
Okay.
So with that being said, you know, what I have learned to do is depend on a higher power.
Mm-hmm.
Because only God can change the hearts and minds of men.
Right.
You know, as much as I talk, as much as I will give you wisdom and insight in certain situations, I can't change you.
Okay.
So, but I know one who will.
All right. Praying my life.
And so I know that even if it haven't happened, it will, because I'm standing in faith for that.
Absolutely.
Yes.
Hallelujah.
Yes.
But even with that, tell me a little bit about how, I guess that would be very important, because you have to control the things that you can control, and that is your go-to for the things that you can't. Like you say, you give it to God and kind of let it go. How different is the community and the culture, say, from your perspective of raising kids versus the community and the culture that I have to raise kids in?
Oh.
And that you have to grandparent in?
It's scary. It's so scary because of the information and the knowledge that is being released without a consideration for age appropriateness or what they can actually handle. And what's happening, these children is getting this information and they're running with it. And they're making wrong decisions for their lives. And that is just so scary, you know, because you have to give information as it is age appropriateness that they can handle, that they can dissect, that they can understand.
Mm-hmm.
And when you get understanding, you can make wise decisions.
All right.
Okay, and when you get information prematurely for that, then it's an accident waiting to happen.
Mm-hmm. So that's why, you know, one of the things in everything that I do is to encourage that parental involvement. Mm-hmm. And it's not just that a superficial level, you know, you really have to be engaged with your kids as much as they will allow you to, but never give up that fight, kind of like. So last week we did like a Woman Crush Wednesday, and because of some that Derek put out there with Miss Pooh, I was supposed to not have no more all the rest of the month, but I figured mama, you know, kind of like when you get in trouble, if you think of something, you can throw Jesus in there. I figured if I throw mama in there, you know, I wouldn't have to, me and Miss Poole wouldn't have to, you know, duke it out, you know. But this is definitely crushable to me. And because I talk about my range from the crack house to the White House. I see where I get it from. Yeah. You done came on. You done put all the way on.
Yeah.
You done put all the way on.
I fit in from the White House. Not the crack house, but the
Owl
House.
Oh, dang.
And all in between.
Okay, yeah, because I see that. But just kind of getting back to, you know, the purpose of the show and all that kind of stuff and being crushable and my, you know, the passion that I have for my community and all that kind of stuff, it was brought to my remembrance that, you know, you was the first person that bought me my youth membership of the National Association,
NAACP. Yes.
Advancement of Colored People.
Mm-hmm. Yes. Well, it started long before me. My mother was very active in the community. So it's like the apple don't fall from far from the tree.
I got you.
So with that, I remember my mom when they first built the 301 over in Palmetto, that overpass.
Uh-huh.
And they did not offer, you know, school crossing guard.
Uh-huh.
That my mother actually went out there and got the children across.
Oh, my mother went out there and
yes, she did.
She crossed. I knew I wanted to be a crossing guard for something. It is in me. My grandma crossed them churns on that street. Oh, I didn't know that.
So I am so proud of you, my darling.
Oh, thank you. I'm proud of you, too.
The greatest compliment of any teacher is that their student exceeds them.
Absolutely.
And I actually see you growing and blossoming in areas that I have only tread upon.
Oh, we're going to get there. We're going to get
that
together.
Yes, we're going to get that together. Most definitely.
Well, thank you for coming. You want to go eat after this?
Oh, yeah. You owe me.
Late movie, if you ain't watched all of them, a movie, too.
No.
You ain't watched all of them? Mm-hmm. Okay. Somebody might go to jail. Don't worry about it. All right. Well, swap it out with there. I think we got maybe like 2 minutes to close out, and we're going to figure out where you want to eat. It was beautiful. She came in here buttoned up and curled and everything.
That was beautiful.
It wasn't that long ago. She was telling one of my sisters they would find something sticking out their cranium. It was me.
It probably was.
And she wasn't talking about no headphones or no headband either. But we gonna. This was good.
This is real good. I enjoyed you and your mama. I enjoyed that.
Okay.
But I wouldn't advise you to miss no more Mother's Day.
I see it's important now. You have to look at the perspective of things from the perspective of care about.
Mm, you're too old for that. You're losing some of your notes.
I'll bring them back. We're going to get them back tonight. but as we get ready to close, I just want to thank everybody for listening. You have anything you want to... I had a couple shout-outs.
You got it.
I'm
going to
do them quick.
You remind me.
My bad. I'm going to do them real
Go
quick,
ahead.
Though.
Great show.
Today is Morella Alexander's birthday. She's a friend of mine from high school. Tomorrow is my friend Justin Burney's birthday, and I also want to wish happy birthday to Keith Timmons. He's celebrating dinner tonight. I couldn't be with him, but my little boo, my little track star or whatever.
Sure.
And I wanted to thank Ricky Bowden for reaching out to us with help on production
and all that kind of stuff.
And
appreciate
then
that,
also,
Ricky.
5 Foot Giant Photography for the Wolver shoot.
Wow.
You know, we never gave him a prop.
Yeah, I appreciate that. Great shot.
Exposing the community to the community.
Yeah. And it was in front of Pat Cruz. Everybody thought we were going to shoot at Pat Cruz. I mean, we were going to do this at Pat Cruz.
No, it's too hot.
But it is too hot. Unless they go, oh, no, I ain't going in there either. Don't matter.
They ain't got no more honey buns anyway.
Oh, yeah. You don't mind. You put your mom on. You a trip.
But this is good.
This is real good.
I want to say C-note signing off.
I thought we couldn't say sign off.
Out in the country. back and smell the sun, warm up the Georgia pie. Feels so good to be taking it easy. Why would I ever leave? 'Cause I know I got some good friends that live down the street. Got a good looking woman with her arms around me, here in a small town where it feels like home. I got everything living like we'll never die. Come on and stay a while if you don't believe me. Why would I ever leave? 'Cause I know I got some good friends that live down the street. Got a good looking woman with her arms around me, here in a small town where it feels like home. I got everything I need and nothing that I don't. Down the street, got a good looking woman with her arms around me, here in a small town where it feels like home. I got everything I need and nothing that I don't. Everything I need and nothing that I don't. Everything I need, nothing that I don't. Everything I need, nothing that I don't. Oh, everything I need, and nothing that I don't.